We believe with all our hearts that Jesus is able to do more than all that we ask or imagine. And in just the next few minutes, we're going to celebrate the way that Jesus has done. That Jesus has done so much more than we could have imagined years ago when we came together as a church and said, listen, 1 week out of the year, just 1 week out of the year, we're going to give. And we're going to give so that we can support work that doesn't happen right here in our local community. We're going to give, and we're going to support work in Mexico. And then later we're going to support work in India. We're going to come together and we're going to give. And we're going to give well beyond what we would normally give in a week. And that's what we celebrate this morning, the way that Jesus has worked through that, the way that God's kingdom has advanced because of that. So today is Mission Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate the fact that we are part of God's mission to go into all the world, that we are part of this same mission, that when Jesus stood on that mountain right before he was to ascend and go to be with his Father, sit at the right hand of God his Father, as he told his disciples to go into the world and make disciples, be disciples who make disciples, we are part of that mission because the mission of Jesus is to be disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. You get the picture. This is a never-ending mission. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 28, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. As you keep making disciples, here I am, and I'm going with you. In fact, his promise about being with us is wrapped in us embracing the mission of Jesus. It is. You can't get around that. I've heard people say at times, I don't feel the presence of God in my life. And the first thing I want to say is, are you living out the mission of God in your life? It's when we live out the mission of God in our lives that God has promised, I'll be with you. Because that's where we need him, right there in those moments. That's where things get scary, things get frightening when we're on mission for him. And he says, look, I'll be there with you. You're not doing this in your own power. Well, one thing I want to share with you this morning as we talk about the idea of celebration, I'm not a particularly good celebrator, have not been in my life a particularly good celebrator. I am the guy that when my birthday comes up, I typically say something like this to my wife just about every year. Hey, please, please, please do not throw a birthday party for me. I don't want to do the party thing. I'm not a celebrator. I'm not a party. Even though I turned 40 this year and I said, you know, I know it's a big thing, but let's not have a party. I'm not a big celebrator. And I don't know why I've been. And in fact, I lament that fact. I wish I was a better celebrator. I wish I wanted to have a party. Okay. I don't wish I was like the people maybe. And if you are one of these, I love you. I really do. But you don't have a birthday. You have a birthday month and you celebrate the whole month, or you might even celebrate your birthday season. Good for you. I wish I was more like you, that I could celebrate that way, that I found a reason to rejoice. Even if it was in myself, right, for a little bit of time. But one thing I want to become good about, even if I never celebrate my own birthday in my entire life, is celebrating the movement of God's kingdom on this earth. I want to celebrate that. If I never celebrate anything else, I want to learn how to celebrate that. A couple of years ago, after we had had Mission Sunday, I was actually reading through Philippians, and I saw this text, and I became convicted that I stink at celebrating even when God's mission is advancing on this earth. I'm not good at it. Here's why. I was listening to the way that God is on the move in India, and God is on the move in Mexico, and here was my reaction. I was a head nodder. All I was doing was nodding my head as though that, yeah, I can intellectually acknowledge that that is a good thing. It's a great thing. I love it. I love it. And in that moment, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. People are coming to Jesus. They're being saved. These are people we're going to spend eternity with. We better party. We better celebrate. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says, and I want you to see the way he addresses this. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He's in prison, by the way, at this point in time. He's writing this letter to the Philippian Christians, and he's sitting in jail. He says, the result has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? Listen to these words. The important thing, one more time, the important thing, Paul says, what matters right here, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. So Paul was in prison, one. Paul was in prison. And then there were others who were preaching the gospel, and they were doing it out of false motives. And Paul says, I don't care. What matters is that Jesus is being preached and that the kingdom of God is on the move. It's advancing, that God is winning territory because Jesus is being preached. That's what matters. And what does that make him do? He rejoices. Paul's ready to throw a party. I want you to see this because this is what I became convicted about as far as it relates to me. And maybe this is true about you. I don't know. Maybe this is only me. But here's what's true about me, is that my excitement about the advancement of the message of Jesus is tied directly to my passion for the mission of Jesus. In the moments where I am most passionate about the mission of Jesus, I am most passionate and excited about the fact that the message of Jesus is on the move. I want to show you two more places in Scripture that this comes out in a very evident way, and they're both found in Luke 15. Luke 15, you know the story of the prodigal son most likely, one of the most famous stories in Scripture. These are the last two verses in that chapter and the last two verses in that story. And here the Father, which is God, is addressing the Son who has been with him all this time. And here are his words. He says, "My Son, you are always with me and everything I had is yours." Now catch these next words. "But we had to celebrate and be glad. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, but we had to celebrate and be glad." And then this last piece, also out of Luke 15, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." How often do we party and celebrate knowing that God's kingdom is on the move? Can I tell you, this is way more important than our birthdays or anything else we might celebrate. When God's kingdom is on the move, when God's kingdom is advancing, here's what I want for us, church. And this is where we're going to wrap up the message portion this morning, right here, very quick. But we're going to have a few people on stage with me in just the next few minutes that are going to share things we ought to be celebrating. But here's what I want for us. I want for us, Grace Chapel, to be a community in which passion for Jesus' mission runs so deep that every time we hear about the advancement of the message of Jesus, we can't help but celebrate. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right. If you're going to come on stage with me this morning, I want to invite you guys. I've got five of you that are going to join me on stage to talk about the way that the gospel has been advancing in both India and Mexico. Come on up, guys. Come on up. All right, we're going to have folks over here going to talk with us about the way that the gospel has been moving powerfully in India. And over on this side, we're going to have some folks that are going to share about Mexico in the next few minutes. I'm going to let these guys introduce themselves very quickly. Most of you probably know these folks, but if you don't, I want to make sure that you do. All right, here's the mic. Alec, we'll start with you, and if you would pass it on down this way as you introduce yourself.
Sure, good morning, everybody. I'm Alec Johnston. I'm the deacon. I serve within the International Mission Zone. We focus on India.
I am Brenda Hunter.
I'm Ben Patterson. I've been to India three times. Absolutely love it.
All right. And I'll talk a little bit about Mexico in a minute. Craig actually has a mic, so go ahead, Craig, I'll pass this down to Sue.
I'm Craig.
I'm Sue, and Tom and I have been going to Cozumel. This will be our 15th trip this year. So we've been going since 2005, awesome. 2006 with Grace Chapel.
All right, welcome our whole panel, if you would. All right, we're going to begin by allowing Ben to address a little bit of what he's seen in India over the last few years. And let me tell you, I've grown to love this guy over the last few years. His passion for the way that God's kingdom is advancing is contagious, and contagious in a way that it has influenced me, Ben. So I'm excited about what you're going to share with these guys. No pressure at all.
All right. I love India. I love what we do over there. because I really believe we're living out the command that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28 that Paul just talked about, to go into the world and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do there, that's the heart of it. That is what we're doing, is that we want to share Jesus with people. We want to share the good news of the gospel with people in India. Mm-hmm. All the charity work, everything that we do there, it's all to that end. And I've seen that. I've seen people's lives who are just changed over there in my time in India. And I want to tell you all about a couple experiences that I had that makes me so excited about what we're doing there. And hopefully it will for you too. And I really hope that every one of you will just give as much as you possibly can to partner with this work. So when I was there the first time I went, 3 years ago, we went on a gospel meeting. I didn't really know what that was, but I knew I loved the gospel and I love meetings. So it's going to be great. So at a gospel meeting, what we did was we went and we piled in this person's house. There were probably 100 people in there. And we just sat there and we preached the gospel. And I looked out at this group of people who just had so much joy. They were so enthusiastic about hearing this. We're just celebrating Jesus. And just seeing these people whose lives have changed in a culture that is so predominantly Hindu. And these people are just in love with Jesus.
Hmm.
And then I saw our preacher school. Back at the children's home, we had this time where all the preachers came in and they were being trained to go out and preach in their own villages. And those are the people who are really going to make the difference. It's not me. I can't speak Telugu. I don't know the culture. But those people, they're going to be the ones that are going to be able to go out. They're going to be able to connect with their neighbors and tell them about Jesus. And Grace Chapel, as a part of the India mission, we're able to partially support 52 of those men who are able to now go out to their villages, and they're able to share the gospel and not have to worry about taking care of their families, taking care, feeding themselves, all that stuff. We're able to take care of that so they can just focus on advancing the good news about Jesus. That Amen. Is something to celebrate.
Amen.
And another thing I saw was we went to this hospital. I use that term very lightly. It was just an abandoned building, basically, where a bunch of people with leprosy were living. Basically, all they had was this little mattress they laid on the floor, maybe one outfit. It was about all they had. And we sat down for this church service. We all sat in a little circle. And I looked across at these people who they had nothing, absolutely nothing to their name. But they had so much joy. Why is that? It's only Jesus. It's mm-hmm. because we've been able to share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. As a result of your work, as a result of the donations that we've been able to make, we've been able to share the gospel with those people and support that, and they were just filled with joy. And then something just blew my mind. I saw each of these people. We went around and we had a contribution. And every one of these people with leprosy, every one of them gave money. These people can't work. The only money they're getting is maybe from begging, from a little bit of support that we give them, and every one of them gave money. Their lives were utterly changed by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I love about India. And there's one more thing that just shows me that we are doing we are doing Jesus' work there, and it's that there's some resistance to it. And we've had some mm-hmm. problems with the government of not wanting it to continue, and that just shows me that we're doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do over there. Because he says we're going to have troubles, and it has not been able to stop the work. Because in our time in India, over 2,000 people have been baptized.
Amen.
That's something to celebrate.
Amen. Amen. Ben touched briefly on the Wings home as well. You mentioned that briefly. You talked about the Wings school. Brenda is actually going to share just briefly about the Wings home and the engagement with the children there.
Okay, so Ben, you took a lot of stuff I wanted to say, but that's okay. I'm only allowed to tell one thing. Oh my, so I have to shorten it. But it's so wonderful to sponsor the Wings children. And we sponsored children, I think we've had 4 total, but I can remember I had Prem Kumar, and his dad has leprosy, and I remember I wanted Prabhu, the brother, so I finally got Prabhu. I was so thrilled, and when I saw them, they had sores, but the sores had closed up, and I was so thankful. Their dad had leprosy, so I assumed that they had some sores from leprosy, But we were able to give money, and they were able to get better, which I'm thankful for. And I was able to go see them and play with them and all the other kids. They all call you mommy, so when you come home to Atlanta, you don't want to hear mommy ever again. But there's 100 kids going, mommy, 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 which was wonderful. And so you got to we got to sing songs, which I'm really horrible at, but I did it anyways, and dance with them, which they loved. And we were able to teach them and spend time with them, which was a blessing. And Prabhu and Preem's father, this is one reason why I wanted to have these children, Craig and I wanted to have them so bad, was because their dad had leprosy. And I remember the first time I met him, I was a little nervous because, you know, we were sponsoring him, and I didn't know how that relationship would go. But when I saw him, you know how I am, I'm a hugger, so I hugged him really tight, and he kind of looked at me like, I have leprosy, and I go, I don't really care. And so we got along very, very well, and that was a great thing. But what I'm thankful for was all the people that have gone, that have loved on the children there, and my two ended up being baptized while I was there. That was great. What a great gift. And his dad, Preem and Prabhu's dad, got baptized eventually, and it was great, and it just made me so happy because the word is in India and Mexico, and we're just so thankful for that. So I just want to thank all of you for supporting me. I know a lot of you gave money beyond on Mission Sunday to let me go, and I'm very thankful that God has blessed me to have a life, and I'm thankful for my husband for allowing me to go because I know he's afraid that I would go somewhere and not come home because I love it so much. So I just want to thank all of you for loving, for being disciples, for loving God, for loving missions. Just thank you for the elders here. I do want to thank Cynthia Stavern and her family for starting this great work too, and so many others. Thank you, Kurt, for all your hard work, and the Johnsons and everybody else. But can I tell one little small story?
Do it.
Okay. So this other, I got to go to gospel meetings too, and that was exciting. And there was this lady that had no glasses. And she had glasses, but they were kind of crooked because they were broken. And I remember her coming up to Rama and asking him for help with the glasses. And he said, no problem, in Telugu, which I asked him what he said. And he said, that wasn't a problem. We'll take care of it. And your contributions got her glasses. And eventually she came to Ongol. And they have to, y'all, they have to take trains and they have to get on buses. It's a long way to get to come to see us. And she came all the way to show us her glasses. He had taken care of it that, like, the next day, and she came to show us the glasses. And I cried. I cried because she was so excited, and she came all that way to show us and became a part of the church. So you guys, any needs you can do just is amazing. Sorry about two stories.
That's all right. We're actually going to bring the mic down here to Sue. The transition here is you know, Brenda talked about what's going on with the Wings Children's Home, which is an orphanage. Began after many children lost their parents in the tsunami that impacted India in such a great way. We also support an orphanage in Cozumel, which many of you have traveled to during the summers. And Sue's been involved, you said, 15 years. 15 years. So she's going to share a really neat perspective because she's seen some of these kids when they started and where they are now. So go ahead, Sue.
Pray, church, that I can get through this without crying. But we the first trip that Tom and I went to Cozumel, it was after presentation at another congregation we remembers, and it left an impact forever on us. The children that are in Ciudad de Angeles, not one of them has come from a perfect background. They come with a caboose full of baggage. Horrible things have happened to them that they've seen and experienced that no one, no adult, no child should ever have to go through. Well, some of these children, when they came, our sponsor child was one of them. He was only 7 years old on the first time that we went. We're very proud of him. He is 22 years old today. He's in his fourth year of college, and he has one more year to go, and he will be among the first to actually complete higher education, which puts him, I think, if I'm not mistaken, up in the 5 percentile of Mexican people. So he's doing very well. Some of the other ones, there was a young man, I remember there were siblings, three of them, that came. They spoke Mayan, only Mayan. They didn't speak Spanish. They didn't have a clue about English. they didn't even sleep in beds. They slept in hammocks, so they had to spend them in hammocks at night because they didn't know what to do with a bed. Well, again, those siblings grew up. They eventually learned Spanish. They all go to private school. They eventually learned English. But one of them, Marcos is his name, he is one of these graduated high school transition students who is now about to come to the States to go to university in Texas. I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but it's where Dennis, one of the former directors, lives. He's helping them to get in. Marcos is a Christian. He wants to major in mission work because Marcos is going to go back to Mexico and spread the gospel throughout mm-hmm. Mexico. That would not have happened if we were not an anchor congregation for Ciudad de Angeles. Okay? Mm-hmm. Thanks to all of you, that's what's happening. The stories of the children, it's amazing to see the transitions. Again, from little on up, some of the children come, they're 2 years old. Some were abandoned in hospitals because they were born with a defect on their face. Perfectly normal, brilliant children. No, superstitious, they leave them behind. Well, they ended up with in Ciudad de Angeles, and they are just blossoming. They're doing great. But we're not just confined. The knowledge of Ciudad isn't confined to here. There's several congregations in the States that support it as well. But it isn't just in the States these congregations know about. It's getting out. People know about Ciudad de Angeles. Taxi drivers know. Tom and I were in a taxi cab once a few years ago. Not in the van that carries multiples of us at a time. It was just a two-person version. He would not take a tip because he said, you come to help our children. I'm not taking money from you. Mm-hmm. We paid our fare. That was it. He would not take a tip. The airlines know about us. We've come through. And it's interesting, when you come to Cozumel, you have a green light and a red light. Sometimes you get that red light, and everyone who's been there knows. They now have to go through every parcel in your packaging, right? All your luggage. Well, the best way to get through it is to sweet talk them, right? You just keep talking. So I got elected once and started talking. I had 50 kites in my suitcase, right? Now, when you come with that many kites, they're thinking, are you going to set up a shop and sell kites? What are you doing, 50 kites in your suitcase?
Well, good money in that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a retirement plan.
Yeah.
So I told them, and I said, oh, yeah, I see that young age. You know, see, yes, I know about it. These are for the children. Oh, and we got talking. He closed that suitcase, and there I went. It was great. But it's not just.
It didn't used to be like that.
We've had other instances where we brought T-shirts to make hand prints on, and they really find us pretty good, didn't they?
Yep.
They thought we were going to sell them, so they took the revenue off the top. However, but it's not just the airlines. The cruise lines know. In fact, Ciudad de Angeles is an excursion on three of the cruise lines that come to Cozumel. I'm sure it's Carnival, I'm sure it's Royal Caribbean, and I can't remember the third one. I think it's Norwegian, but I'm not sure. However, that brings busloads of individuals, and it's amazing. One of the things I do now that I've retired is help out with scheduling these visits. When people apply for a visit to come to tour the orphan's home, Ciudad de Angeles, we have to schedule it out, make sure it's all fine. Well, last Saturday was the largest group that ever came. There was one cruise ship. Out of that cruise ship, 136 people came to Ciudad de Angeles. So you saw the streets on the video we showed, a pot mark, the potholes and all. They somehow got four buses. I don't know where they came from because I've never seen a Greyhound-sized bus on Cozumel. I think they must have brought them down from Cancun and got them across the ferry somehow. Four busloads of people came last Saturday and visited Ciudad de Angeles. The applicants that I've seen, California, Colorado, all over the United States, and they say, we want to bring our children to see because we know that we want them to see the work that's going on there. Two of the transition students are now the tour guides for those tourists that come to see. They speak great English, and they take them around and show them what's going on. That would not have happened if it was not for the contributions that we give them that come from Mission Sunday. So thank you. so mm-hmm. much. I really do thank you all for what you do.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to pass this down to Alec. Before he shares, Craig and I are going to take just a quick minute to share, too, about the work that is taking place through Kairos, because we have Ciudad de Angeles, which is the children's work in Cozumel, but then there's Kairos that we support as well in Mexico, which is a work that is in just about every province
every state,
in Mexico,
yeah.
every state at this point in time. I want to tell you real quickly, I've shared before, there's a guy who he's a blind man who is one of the leaders in the church in Sonora, who felt the call of God upon his life to go engage with these rehab recovery communities. Now, Sonora, if you're familiar with Mexico at all, Sonora is kind of the capital of the cartels, and it's also the capital of drug running and drug smuggling in Mexico at this point in time. It is a dangerous area, a crazy, crazy area, especially in Culiacan where they are. And this particular man noticed that there was a chance to connect in a way that maybe they hadn't connected before, and he kind of got this vision that you know, I'm not going to put it word for word, but it was kind of a vision to win the battle against the cartels, one person at a time that comes to Jesus. And that vision has taken root and has been noticed so much that, what is it, Chavez, that's the
Hector
boxer,
Chavez.
Hector Chavez, who's the boxer, the really famous Mexican boxer, who lives in that area, who also had his own struggle with drugs and alcohol, saw what was happening in one of the rehab clinics and said, I'll support that. I'll give money to that. And what was happening was this is it. It wasn't that they were going in there and giving him wild, fantastic counseling. They were going into these rehab centers and they were preaching Jesus. And they were saying, you've lost all hope in your life. You've hit rock bottom. There's only one person who can lift you out of that, and his name is Jesus. And people started to say yes to that. There's some fantastic pictures I showed last year that showed all these guys lined up surrounding this blind guy, and he can't even see him. But he knows that they've given their life to Jesus and their lives are forever changed, forever transformed. They're not going to go back to that stuff again. They're not running back to the cartels. They're not running back to drugs and alcohol. And his vision is being lived out. They're winning the battle in Culiacan against the cartels with one person at a time who's giving their lives to Jesus. And we, church, still at this point in time, we're looking to take steps, because the work of the Kairos work has grown so large. We're looking to take steps to not be the only church that supports the Kairos work, but it's us right now. All the money that Kairos receives for an entire year, their entire budget comes from Grace Chapel and your giving. So that work, your giving has enabled that. Thank you. Craig, I'm going to let you share, and then Alec will wrap us up,
okay.
And then you'll move us into communion.
Great, thanks.
Offering as well.
Yeah, this has been a real blessing. You know, it's kind of crazy. Brenda and I started going in the early 2000s to Mexico, and I, for all that's happened, I still think I've gotten more out of it than given. It's just great work, you know, to be able to see that the church was founded down there from a missionary standpoint, that many of you came from North Atlanta, that started the work with Phil Waldron. Phil started the congregation down there. They started the children's home, and they started a Bible Institute. The leader of the pulpit minister at the congregation is a guy by the name of Victorino Calderon. And Victorino has a real, real passion from an evangelistic perspective. So much so, Phil swapped the roles. And so Victorino left the church there as the leader of the pulpit minister and became the Bible Institute leader. And God has done so much through Victorino. I just am amazed. And Victorino's comment would be, praise be to God. Thank you, Grace Chapel, that he can do this work because of the ability that they have, because of your contributions.
Mm-hmm.
You have touched so many people that you have no idea about. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this during the offering, but you have blessed them from medical missions to the rehab centers to to marriage seminars, to evangelistic campaigns, to youth group members conferences, mm-hmm. leadership. It's amazing. And so I just really appreciate that. And we'll talk a little bit more about it in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Alec, if you'd wrap us up, share a little bit more about what's going on in India.
So it's humbling to be part of the work. It really, really is. Our why is simple, was to go and make disciples of all nations. And the how is the awesome thing to see how God works and how God's alive and how the gospel is changing people. Everything that we do in India is simply to go share Christ with others, show Christ, share Christ, and do that in a way that Christ would do it, by meeting physical needs and meeting spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm.
The, quote, programs that we have, what's amazing is to sit back and see how God is using all them in concert together for his glory. Brenda spoke to the children's home. Ben mentioned about the gospel meetings. We have programs to support widows. And everything that we do is not just from a support standpoint, it's from a get them to be self-sufficient, get them to that point. With the widows, there's opportunities to provide sewing machines that they have an occupation. They can earn money and support themselves. With the preachers that we support, we've now graduated over 240 preachers through three preacher schools, Wings Bible School. And within the next year, there'll be another 75 that are currently in the course. So there'll be over 300 preachers that have been equipped to go share the gospel with others. Ben mentioned we have 52 preachers that we provide some portion of support, some small, some are also working as well to share the gospel. I want to share two personal stories about this, that it's just amazing to see how God works. The first one is whenever they went to start, and they're also supporting four communities with people suffering from leprosy. The fourth one that's now being supported is Nellore. It's south of Ongole, between Chennai and Ongole. And I wasn't on this journey, so I'm sharing this story where the first time they went, the purpose was to go meet the physical need. So they were basically going that time to kind of establish the program to provide food. And we provide food. Basically, it's their sustenance, right? On a monthly basis, you get that month's ration of food. So the people with leprosy, suffering with leprosy, don't have to worry about where their next meal is going to come from. God's provided that. Here's the God thing. They get down there with the expectation of just going to distribute food. And two of the students who had graduated from the preacher school already had been down there. No one even knew it. This is in the lore. And they had already been sharing Christ with them. That first meeting when they get down there to hand out the food, they said, no, we want a gospel meeting. So they shared the gospel. There were over 30 baptisms that day. Mm. There was a church planted on one day.
Mm.
And fast forward that now, I think nearly everyone in that community is among 75. They're all Christians. Those two brothers, I asked Rama this morning, Kurt, Gabriel and Abraham, pray for those guys. Those are now supported preachers going out and doing it. So the beauty is Christ's model of making disciples and make disciples, that's where it's happening. This other story I want to tell, it's just, like I said, it's really neat God moments. 2 years ago, Jess Lucas was on one of the mission trip teams where he had met a guy who was in college who was considering becoming a Christian. That was two summers ago. The last time he went the summer, he connected with the guy, and during that year, he had become a Christian. He had gone back to his university, and I think the number, if it's right, is 17 in his dorm that he had converted. He had shared the gospel with.
Mm-hmm.
So know that God is alive. God is meeting needs. And, you know, they say in the mission work, there's three opportunities. Go, send, and pray. So pick two or more. And I would encourage everybody to do that. But know that India right now, Kurt mentioned, their population has exceeded China. There are people who haven't heard the message of Christ before. I tell people, there's one thing that draws me back to India is it's you see the hunger for the gospel. You hear and you see people who know and need Christ.
Mm.
That's what our life's purpose is all about. So as you give this morning, pray about it. Give obviously to the work, and know that you're making a difference in the lives of many people, and probably more importantly, the thousands or hundreds of thousands that will become Christians as a result of the seeds that are planted here now. God bless everybody.
Amen. So we're about to, go ahead. We are about to transition to our time of offering, and what I want you to see out of this is, yes, the need is great. We talked about that last week. Incredibly great need, but such an opportunity to make an incredibly and great impact as well. I thank the panel so much for sharing this morning, and I hope that you've been able to see the fact that over the years we have been able to make an impact, an incredible impact, and we can do that again today as we prepare to give. And as we do, I want to make sure that as you give, you also celebrate. Let's celebrate the good things that God has done. We're going to turn it over to Craig. He's going to lead us in our offering thoughts. Again, thank the panel, and we're going to make our way down as Craig prepares to lead our thoughts.
What a day. What a day. Kurt was able to present a little bit about India last week, so I get to have a few minutes today. On your sheets, I hope you've had a chance to see the India flyer that they put together, which is just outstanding. Today we're going to spend a little bit more time talking about the two primary works in Mexico that this church supports, the first being the Bible Institute, which is referred to as Kairos. It's actually ELEB, is the International Latin America Evangelistical Bible. So we'll come back to that in a moment. And also Ciudad de Angeles, which is an orphanage where we actually have been able to be at what's called an anchor congregation for, goodness, at least 10 to 12 years, I believe, at this point, as Sue kind of referenced. What that basically means is they count on funding from this body. They count on funding from this body. And it's not a lot. I'd like it to be more. They need more, but it's not a lot. It's what we can afford based on the budgeting process. There are a lot of needs there, and we're going to just spend a few minutes talking about just some of the different works that we see, and I've been blessed to be involved in, to witness. These are just some of the pictures that you can look at. They were able to host five. This is the Kairos program, the Bible Institute. They have 225 students right now that are in a three-year Bible school program. And it used to be in Cozumel. Probably about 8 years ago, Victorino, we prayed about it, we moved him. We didn't pay for it, they moved, but they moved to San Cristobal, which is, everybody knows where Cozumel is, and you'll see it in a map. San Cristobal is on the lower portion down by Bolivia, before it starts to go back up onto the western side of the United States. So move there, 225 students. You're going to see all the provinces or the states where they went. And I love to show these slides because it looks like one of Paul's missionary journeys. Right now you'll see on this, this is most of the, actually all of these slides were taken this past February at a medical mission campaign. Dental hygienist, actually a dental hygienist and a dentist in the upper left, an internist in the upper right. One of the things that will happen is we'll go to these small congregations, we'll set up and do a free medical campaign, and then the people from the community come on Saturday, and while they're waiting to be seen, they will receive one-on-one lessons, preaching, counseling, discussions, and that's what's occurring down here on the bottom, your left. This gentleman was actually baptized later that day. And then on the bottom right is our own Jose Quiñones. I don't know how many of you know Jose personally. Jose is unbelievable. He is here. He works in our Spanish ministry, a biblical scholar, specifically the Old Testament. He's written three books on the Old Testament, and just amazing. Great work that we're able to see. These are the students, as they receive, they make a big deal. Talk about celebration, Paul. They celebrate when they graduate every year, first year, second year, third year. They get a certificate. They get, but the basic message is when they graduate, go and preach. That's it. It's go and preach. And so they do that. And they, you'll find that two of these other pictures, the picture in the upper right is the line at the rehab center that Paul referenced that I got to see in August, where these men at the rehab center were all baptized that day. Unbelievable. The picture in the bottom is a picture of the female or the women's rehab center. And all of these women were baptized. One of these women intentionally got admitted to kill another one. And while she was there, she heard the gospel. And they are best friends. That can only happen in Christ. It can only happen in Christ. And then these are the Bible lessons that are taught. Very biblically sound, very knowledgeable folks. And I'm just thrilled with that. We're going to look at it. When you see this is a map of Mexico, we've got some really exciting things that are happening. I literally want you to understand, we sponsor about, if you think we're trying to get, the goal is today at least $100,000. Ideally, we'd get $110,000. Wishful thinking would be $150,000. Thank you very much. Here's the reality of it. Now, by the way, you'll see this is where he starts. This is the area where he starts, and he makes all these trips. He went to every one of these cities this past year, preaching the gospel to these small churches, to do a medical camp, to lead medical campaigns, to do marriage seminars with his wife. His son, by the way, is probably 26. Victor Jr. was recently invited to El Salvador to preach at a youth conference in El Salvador. We didn't leave him there. We did let him come back, even though he didn't connect it. You'll notice that Cuba is on there. They were invited to go to take the Kairos Mission and the Bible Institute to at least 8 to 10 churches on the island of Cuba. How exciting is that with everything that's going on in that country? We have 3 trips that candidly are not budgeted that we're going to go ahead and fund this year for him and his wife to go teach and take the lessons with them, because you know why? On the island of Cuba, you don't have internet unless you're in a major hotel. If you're out in the island itself, you don't have it. It's just not there. They don't have printers. They don't have, so everything has to physically be fed to them on this. So these are things that you are blessing these individuals with from a work standpoint. I'm telling you, you know, that beyond what you could ask or imagine, when we first started working with this, we were focused right up here in Cozumel and Cancun, and maybe we thought Merida. God's plans are so much bigger if we can just turn it over to Him and let Him lead us. So this is the Kairos, and you'll see there are other two new areas where we've just gotten students. As Paul mentioned, these areas are really where the drug cartels, and this is where we visited last year, in August, the Culiacan, Sinaloa. This coming August, Lord willing, we will be making a trip to Chihuahua. While I was in the area of Sinaloa, they brought a bus of 40 members of a church from Chihuahua, and now we've got a group studying there, And we're actually going to be holding a mission campaign in Chihuahua coming up next year. In August of this year, again, Lord willing. You've heard talk about Ciudad de Angeles, which is the orphanage. As a former orphan, as an adopted child, what a great work. What a great work. Scott and Lori have sponsored Norma since she was little. Sue and Tom talk about Gustavo. For them. So there actually is work. They've built the property. We house about, approximately 40 right now. They're hoping to get, it's kind of funny, in the spring they hope to get more children from that. The children are older now. They've actually got it, what's called, you've heard Sue use the word transition houses. At 18, they either get a job and support themselves, or they must go on. They must move out. And so the ones that are in the transition houses are either in college or are working there to help the niños, the babies, on the work. Tremendous, tremendous blessing. And the kids' faces just light up. I mean, it's just outstanding. Here's the part that I want to make sure you hear. Your money does not go to fund people to go on these mission trips. Those mission trips are personally funded by those individuals, or they raise funds for it. So your money is going directly towards the work, which I think is outstanding. That's really what the desire is for that scenario. We've got a group of 43 going to Ciudad de Angeles this year, this summer. None of that will come from the church budget. None of it. None of it. Those are all personally funded trips. We've had over 250 individuals from this congregation have gone and visited Ciudad de Angeles. And I'm telling you, all it takes is once and you're infected. My goal is still to have every elder at some point to be on one of these trips, to either go into the Bible Institute or to the Ciudad trip, or on one of the evangelistic missions, or on one of the medical campaigns. And we're making our way through it. They're all willing. It's just working things logistically out. So I think as you kind of get through to these scenarios, you can start to see, I'm not sure what we're cooking here, but I think it's chicken. But it's fine. Here are the kites Sue talked about. There is work being done. I'm not, anytime you got a picture of a machete, you got to get it in, right? That's the way I look at it. So, and then the kids are what the work is all about for Ciudad. I have one last thing in closing. I want you to know how much we appreciate your willingness to sit through this, your willingness to pray about it. It may be that you are not prepared today to give 5 or 6 times what you normally contribute. That's okay. You can write a check, and next week, just put in the memo field, just put Missions Sunday, and we'll add that to the count. I will tell you, as Kurt referenced last week, you won't miss the money. You'll find a way. You won't miss the money. All right, this is a story, and this literally just came in, and it was one of the people that Sue just recently talked about. She talked about those people that would come over from the cruise ships. A board member sent this to me, actually sent it to Lori, and Lori, who is our board representative, Lori Sams, which I'm very grateful for, and they do great work, sent this to me and said, hey, this might be something that would be relevant for Mission Sunday, and it fits perfectly with what Sue said from people coming that have no idea who this work or what this work is about. So I'm just going to read this, and then we'll pray, and thank you for your time. So, Anita Miller took a cruise as part of her stop in Cozumel and visited the orphanage. She has no connection to the Church of Christ and only heard of Ciudad by chance. Somehow she found my name and email on the website. I think I was geographically close, so she reached out to me to find out what, if anything, she could bring down. I found her email particularly nice considering her visit was right in the middle of the recent inspections. Sounds like despite all they had going on, they still made a positive impression. Anyway, here it is. So dear Patrick is one of the board members from the Woodbury Church of Christ up in Minnesota. I just returned from the trip to the Caribbean and found my trip to Cozumel and to Ciudad de Angeles a very memorable experience. We were led by a small group of seven, led by a guide by the name of Angel. Les Johnson, the director of Ciudad de Angeles, expressed that the inspectors were from the social services were there, and the reports were going great so far. They were very excited that all was going well. They brought the supplies I had with me to the main office and introduced us to Carlos, our host for the visit. He is now in college and looking forward to attending the carnival that night on his own. He explained his stay at the orphanage and information about it as well. He hopes that in April that they will have some babies come to the orphanage age 3 and plus. We were able to visit one of the houses where we were introduced to the foster parents and 5 children. They had a 3-month-old puppy named Willie who seemed to be part Yorkie and poodle. What a cutie. Carlos remembers you well and said you were funny. We were able to take lots of pictures with everyone in the house. One of the men in our group had been an orphan at a very young age in Mexico and was sent to an orphanage run by another organization. He said it was a very bad experience and that he ultimately decided to run away. He was very emotional seeing the love, attention, and support all of the children received at Ciudad de Angeles. He was all smiles the whole tour, and he wasn't the only one. Thank you to all of the Church of Christ individuals that give their time and money so that Ciudad de Angeles can be a positive place for children to live and grow. My t-shirt says, where children are loved, they have wings to fly. God bless you all. My response is, God bless you all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the ways you bless us, for the opportunities that you put before us, and for the desire that we share to serve you and grow your kingdom. We pray, dear God, that you'll be with this body of believers. Help us to constantly put you first in our lives. Help others to see Christ in us. We pray, Father, that you'll be with the individuals in this body as they consider and pray about the monies that they're going to be donating and contributing for future work in Mexico and in India and other places that you may put before us in the near future. Thank you, God, for your Son and for your love and for the hope that we have in you. In Christ's name, amen.